This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly tracks, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Happy Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Jeffrey, I came in, not only, I don't know what got into me today, not I know exactly what got into me today. Not only did I bring you a bacon and egg biscuit from Three Little Pigs, I didn't see the cheese option. I wanted cheese too.
You can just throw it out there. You can just say bacon, egg,
bacon and cheese.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's on their the actual
but
board,
it's because honestly, I'm really susceptible to suggestion. I don't know if other people are like that. And in Chris Harrington's mailbag, the last question, which never has to do with the Grizzlies, has to do with the rest of the world. It was, what's the best conveyance for an overloaded breakfast sandwich? Is it a biscuit? Is it Texas toast, or is it a croissant? That would be those were the offers.
The
but
three
you
options.
Could use, but you could add anything else you wanted. You could add a bagel, or you could add for you, or you could add regular toast. I'm willing to open.
I mean, the Texas toast is fine too.
I'm willing to open the floor to any of it. But that's why I went and got the damn egg biscuit. Is because I'm like, oh, breakfast egg biscuit. My brain, like I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, I just drive right to Three Little Pigs on the way here.
The sandwich option at Pigs ups your. It's like basically the same price as it's a hack.
Oh,
you get
the sandwich,
more yeah.
And it's the same price with the toast.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, do you have a strong opinion about which is the best conveyance? What's best way to convey the?
Not
it also
really.
Just depends on.
Yeah,
the problem.
What does the place specialize in?
The problem really is this: biscuits are a total mixed bag.
Yes,
they can be too. They can fall apart in your hand. In fact, this biscuit kind of did a little bit. They can.
Let's be real. Like, if we're going to be honest about Chick-fil-A, it's a problem with the biscuit.
Is the Chick-fil-A biscuit?
It falls apart.
Oh, it does.
100%.
No, you need a biscuit that's got a little...
It's got to stay.
It's got a little stick-em to it. A little... And so, I mean, I like a bagel sandwich.
Yes.
Very much.
But, like, if I'm going to, like, you know, if I'm going to a Jewish deli in New York, I'm not ordering the biscuit. You see what I'm saying?
That's certainly true.
Even if I'm someone that prefers biscuits.
So you don't think there's right answer here.
No.
You don't think it's a cop-out to say there's no right answer? Okay, what if I'm giving you the perfect biscuit, perfect bagel, perfect, you know, perfect croissant, perfect Texas toast?
I think you got to go bagel, right?
I think I go bagel.
Right? Because
I think
the best bagel has a very high ceiling.
I think I go bagel. But the best biscuit is really awesome, too. It's bagel or biscuit.
Yeah, but then you could also, like, you throw, like, white bread with butter.
Well, butter's good.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's not like that option has not stood the test of time.
Anyway, I brought that to you, and we had Jennifer Valley on Friday to talk about sex in honor of Valentine's
Day. Yes, of course.
And you know how she said that, oh, I'm going to bring you the lube later?
Of course, yes.
Well, Jeffrey, She came through.
With packaging.
With, so here we go. This, one of these is for you.
Mm-hmm.
One of these is for me. And then there's some soap, too.
Oh, of course.
That's a little pointed, yes. Don't you think?
Those for
our, I think it's a little
those
pointed.
For our ladies.
It's a little, no, I think they may be to clean us up a little bit.
Ah,
it's
okay.
A little, they're shaped like hearts.
Uh-huh.
And so there you go. I'll make sure you get that. And they're speaking of sandwiches. So anyway, so there you go. I came bearing gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Today on the radio show, it's already Tuesday again. How's that even possible? We've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. The aforementioned Chris Harrington is going to talk to us about the Grizzlies. Grizzlies resume action, and it's a telling slate, don't you? It's going to be a little bit of a test. Indiana, Orlando, and Cleveland.
Yeah, no, I mean, we knew the second half of the schedule was going to be a much
here we go
test.
At a time when it feels like nobody believes in the Grizzlies nationally or locally.
I mean, I think there's still some true believers out there, but I do think in terms of serious threat, they're not taken very seriously.
They're not taken very seriously. So I will talk to Chris about that. I may talk to him about the All-Star game, but Chris is so unconcerned with whether the All-Star game is good, bad, or indifferent that I don't imagine we're going to get a passionate response from him other than to say, watch it if you want to, right? Which
yeah,
is true of anything.
Yeah,
watch
I
it
will
if you
say,
want
though,
to.
It feels like, for whatever reason, the NBA All-Star game has become this
it's a lightning rod of takes.
Like,
well, it's also the problem, too, is that there's nothing else to watch. There's nothing else happening particularly.
Until hockey stepped up.
Hockey did certainly step up. And I would ask you this. I was going to get into this later. But obviously, the way hockey did it was to say, well, we're going to put jerseys, national jerseys on these guys.
Yep.
And they're going to be playing for Canada or the U.S. or Sweden or Finland. And all of a sudden, this whole idea of we don't give a flip because it's an exhibition went out the window, and they start pummeling each other. Ratings are great.
Yep.
Everyone acknowledges it's the best hockey we've seen, since the Stanley Cup playoffs, and sometimes better because you get to see literally the best players in the world against the best players in the world, all of on the same sheet.
There's also something about international, the speed of international hockey feels different.
So here's the question, though.
It won't work.
If the NBA said
it won't work,
we're going to do this, would it all of a sudden cause the NBA players to start pummeling each other and care about this like it's the playoffs?
Nope.
Why is that? Is it hockey players have more national pride?
No, I don't. I think it's the nature of the game. For whatever reason, we've decided that if you're on the ice, you're laying it out there.
That's not true. The NHL All-Star game was crap when it was an All-Star game. It was exactly the same as the NBA.
I thought this was when they did the 3-on-3 thing.
That's still crap. The NBA, no. This is not the nature.
I just think they
turned a meaningless, whatever, NHL hockey games, I don't have the scoreboard, 16-11, whatever. And then they had to do, they've been ahead of the NBA all along because first they had meaningless hockey games that no one wanted to watch.
Yep.
And then they said, well, this won't work. We're going to split them into little mini tournaments.
Pods.
And that the NBA basically copied their pod thing. They're copying the NHL. And so then the NHL says, well, this isn't working either.
Who is Gary Bettman's office mate? Adam Silver?
Right. Yeah, right. So I don't think it would work either, but I don't think it's the nature of the game. I don't know why. I think hockey players, you put a national jersey on them, and all of a sudden, they're going to go. And I don't think that's true of NBA players unless they believe it's really, maybe they're more discerning. Maybe they have less, whatever it is, like they do for the Olympics. Those are meaningless games.
I think there's something in the wiring of the NBA player of the All-Star game doesn't matter. It's a joke.
Wouldn't be fooled if you called it
correct.
U.S. versus world.
Correct.
Well, here's the other problem. There actually is a real rivalry between U.S. hockey and Canadian hockey and Finnish hockey and Sweden. Like, Finns and
they've
Swedes...
literally grown up playing against each other.
And there is this deep rivalry because they're kind of equal, you know, U.S.
Sure.
or whatever. And then, whereas the truth is, there's no rivalry between U.S. and world in basketball. There's no innate... There might be some, I can't believe that all our best players now are international players. It makes people grumble occasionally. But we don't hate the French. You know, like, but U.S. basketball players don't hate the French.
Right.
U.S. Canadian hockey players, they couldn't wait to start beating on each other.
Well, we did literally, like, our best players, I believe both their parents are Canadian. The Kachuks,
probably. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, like, but it's like,
we like immigration when they're very talented
correct.
Hockey players.
Correct.
You know,
they're very talented.
Right. They're very talented.
Yeah. White
collar.
Yeah.
So then America seems to be fine with it. So anyway, so they hate each other, and that you can't create that hate just by putting the jerseys on each other. Whereas, and that's what we'd be trying to do in the NBA. Anyway, how did we get here? How did we get here? It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday that feels like a Monday.
You said Chris was.
We're
going to
talk.
You
wouldn't
can do whatever
much
you
to
want
say about
with
the All-Star game. We'll talk more about the All-Star game. We may talk more about breakfast sandwiches and certainly talk more about the Grizzlies. He had an intriguing question about Taylor Jenkins in the mailbag, among other things. So we'll talk to him. Then we'll talk to Fisher on Friday, on Tuesday. Again, can't believe it's Tuesday already. Charles has important things to discuss. We'll talk to him in the second hour. First hour, it is all of us. Jeffrey, I was up in Michigan recently, and up there we had, they've had more than 100 inches of snow up there. And
how is that on pace?
Like a lot more. It's a heavy.
All right.
Every day it was felt like another 6 to 8 inches of snow. It was just unbelievable. But honestly, beautiful. And we are expecting our own snowstorm tonight. Snow and ice this evening. Up to 3 inches is what I believe, Jeffrey. How are you feeling about this?
So, I mean, I do feel like we're now on a pretty good run of when they announce that snow is coming, actually get snow. I don't feel like that used to be the case.
Because of that, I think it's excessive. I'm not interested in it tonight. I'd rather it just pass us by. That's my official position.
I did think we had the last big snow, we had the perfect setup. You got a full day of snow, and then the temperature raised to like 50, 60 degrees,
right.
And it melted immediately.
So weirdly enough, the National Weather Service puts together a preparedness checklist, okay? And the early word over at the Daily Memphian, I write for the Daily Memphian. Well, theoretically, I haven't written in a little bit. But the Daily Memphian called my attention to this, the early word, which is tremendous. Bianca does it at the Early Memphian. And the craziness of it. There is a home preparedness checklist, a car winterization checklist, a home winter survival food checklist, and a car winter survival kit checklist. Let's just write off the top. Which of these things do you have in your car? Flashlight and batteries.
Nope.
First aid kit.
Maybe in the back.
Snow shovel. No one has a snow shovel.
Come on.
I actually do right now because I was up there. Ice scraper. Do you have an ice scraper?
So I have the de-icing spray.
You'd feel ridiculous if you went through this checklist. Blanket, sleeping bag, non-perishable food. Does that count, like some leftover fries that ended up under the seat or whatever?
What about some jerky, maybe?
Bottled water, booster cables, extra clothing, sand or kitty litter, cell phone. That's for your tread to get out of the ice. Cell phone and charger and flares, triangles, and other bright objects.
Yeah, so basically I want
any of those, you got a phone.
I want to meet the person that has this.
What a nerd.
Well, not only that, like, I'm going to explain to them fuel efficiency. That's weighing your car
down. Weighing your car down. Okay, well, let's forget that. You don't drive your house, do you?
No.
We'll go to the home winter survival food checklist. Ready? Canned fruits and vegetables.
Okay, sure.
Crackers, nuts, fruit bars, chips.
I always have snacks.
Okay, that's good. Soups.
I can't remember. Well, there's some Progresso in there.
Okay, so far you're 3 for 3.
Yeah.
Here's one that seems a little crazy. Cookies and hard candy. Do you really need hard candy for your home winter survival? You want hard candy, Jeffrey? You got hard candy in the house?
So I don't think we have any hard candy, although...
Cookies is in the same category, though.
My daughter showed up the other day with a sucker. And I was like, where'd you find that? So I think she got it from school, but I don't know. So I don't think I have hard candy.
Bread and condiments, I think we're okay there. Cereal and toaster pastries. Meals ready to eat, MREs, and bottled water. 1 gallon per person per day.
Weirdly, I think we're not great on bottled water right now.
Oh, I'm not at all great on bottled water. Anyway, that's it. Hope you're prepared, everybody out there,
for the
snow tonight. Yeah.
The stuff in your car is more absurd than the stuff in your home.
It is. The stuff in your home, you actually had most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need snacks and extra clothes and a sleeping bag and everything else in your car. I actually get that if you're driving around in Green Bay, you might need that stuff.
Right.
If you get stuck in a snowbank, if you're Pete Pranica driving around, little Pete driving around up there, and you get stuck in a snowbank and you have to survive for, you know, hours and hours, I could see that. But here, come on, man. Let's be serious. Ridiculous. Okay. Anyway, there was sports that happened over the weekend, including Memphis Tigers losing to Wichita State. And as a consequence, Memphis is plummeting, Jeffrey. Memphis is plummeting down from 14 to 22 in the top 25, in the AP top 25. That is the largest drop of any program within the top 25 this week.
Let's be fair. Do the coaches poll.
They only dropped five in the coaches poll. In what's meaningless, they're both meaningless. The coaches poll feels more meaningless, right?
I think that's more than fair.
And also, the AP poll is what gets you listed. Like when I go to ESPN and I just look at scores, if you're in the AP top 25, you're included in the top 25. So it actually has more psychic impact too. So anyway, but astoundingly, it's not just, of course, that they dropped from 14 to 22 in the top 25. They dropped seed lines. Now, we know, because we had the initial reveal Saturday, we know that Memphis was not, according to the committee, a top four seed, which we didn't think they would be, Jeffrey, right? We said that would be a nice reward, but we wouldn't have predicted
it. The stance on Friday was we were not expecting it. If it happened, we would not be shocked, but like it was like if you're asking us to bet, we were betting no.
We were
pretty comfortably.
No. Right. Now, if I had said they would also mention two more, would you have then thought Memphis would have been either the 16 or one of the two mentioned?
I think I still would have. I would have needed to see the odds, and I think I probably would have said
that's for the even. You got to be right or wrong.
Yeah, I think I probably would have said. No.
That might have tipped me because not a top four seed, but in the five line, but the two that were mentioned were Michigan State and Marquette. So we know that the Tigers were not in the top 18. And that means were they on the five line or, well, two of them are gone already. Two of the slots are gone. So maybe they were a six seed. Maybe Saturday before the Wichita State game, they were a six seed. That's probably the safest bet, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is I don't think anyone in the top 20 had as bad of a loss this weekend.
I'm saying before the loss, they were a six seed.
They were probably in that fringe. Like when you would look at Lenardi, I think had him as like his last five. Palm would have them a little bit higher.
Palm had him four. Palm had him as a four before the loss.
John and I like to look at bracket matrix. And bracket matrix, their average seed, which I think was 100 and plus brackets, their average seed was roughly a six.
Right. So they were probably a six before the loss. And then they did what I have told you they would do, is lose some games, because everybody does. You could be playing high school basketball. That's not true. But you could be playing in practically any conference in America. Memphis could be playing in the Ivies right now, and they would lose some games. Because you lose some games. Because there are games where people have off-shooting nights, or where, particularly if you're supposed to win every damn night, you're not that inspired. Hold
on, let me double-check, because the Ivy... You're making the same point I did, but the Ivy League was one of the two leagues that had an undefeated.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Don't double check me then. Don't double check. Is it? It's Yale.
Yeah.
It's Yale. Yale is killing it.
Yeah.
I tend to ignore the Bulldogs.
Yeah. No. I see why you thought.
I don't give Yale any credit.
If you set Yale aside,
everyone
has at least three losses.
Teams lose games. They're going to lose games. And the problem is, I mean, this is what we've been saying.
You can do the easy thing now. Just call Yale a bunch of cheaters.
Yale's a bunch of cheaters. They let in people who are not academically qualified. Just look at the people you know from Yale.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's what happens. Wichita State is, in fact, a tough place to play. I've been there many a time.
Considering how bad the rest of the league is.
They're right on top of you. It is a tough place to play. Now, mind you, they're a bad team. 4-7 in the AAC. They're a bad team. But I just never, ever, ever believed that Memphis was so physically overwhelmingly talented, which is what Cal's best teams were, that they would just roll through and win every game.
Yeah, and then on top, it wasn't just how talented Memphis was. There was such a wide gap in the rest of the conference USA. One thing we've seen with freedom of movement is you can put together a decently credible team.
All these teams, they're all throwing together their teams over the summer, and they're all, you know, there's credible basketball players on every damn team. You know, you lose to Temple because they got mashed. Like, whatever, you can lose games. I mean, obviously, if you were overwhelmingly talented, would Duke go undefeated in the AAC? I imagine so. Pretty good chance that Duke would go.
Well, do they have to play Memphis?
No. If Duke were instead of Memphis.
If Duke just replaced Memphis.
If Duke just replaced Memphis, and if Auburn replaced Memphis, or if, you know, whatever. There are teams that if they replaced Memphis in the AAC, I think they would go undefeated.
Might be the two teams, though. I think everyone, like, if you want to say maybe Florida, but, like, everyone else is kind of in that mode of you don't shoot well that night, you can take losses.
And so you're going to lose games. And this is just, it's just excruciating. And you can say, well, people say, Memphis, there you got three quad three losses. You know when they have quad three losses? Because they got all those damn quad three games. Like, you think Duke is playing quad three games? Or any team in the SEC is playing quad three? They don't play quad three games. And so they're not losing them. Memphis plays them. Sometimes they're at 11 o'clock Sunday morning in Wichita.
It's not even that Memphis plays them. Memphis has them scheduled for them.
Yeah, Memphis has to play them.
Correct.
That's Memphis's life. We live in a world of quad three games. And yes, and some of them are at 11 in the morning in Wichita, and you're going to lose. Now, you know, Penny last night on his radio show said, and this was, some people were alarmed by this. I think it's just what the kind of thing that Penny said. He said, we didn't go out there yesterday like we cared if we won or not. And like, whoa, are we back to not caring? But then he actually said the care factor of this group is great. They just didn't play like they care. Well, we've seen that over and over again. They don't always bring it because why would you? You're playing inferior teams. And here's the problem, as we've said a million times. It's excruciating to watch because there's no joy in winning, just escaping. If you win, all you do is escape. Oh, God. Oh, thank God. And if you lose, it's a freaking calamity.
Yeah, I said Friday. It's the Valentine's Day of schedules.
You can only lose.
Yep.
You can only lose. That's right.
No one's patting you on the back. No one's considering this great win.
I saw our friend Steve Conley over at Facebook after the loss. It was a devastating loss, he said. Here's the truth. Any loss in the conference is a devastating loss.
Let me double check.
Literally, they're all devastating losses. Any game you lose in the conference is a devastating loss. So unless you're perfect.
Well, the problem is there is one loss that wouldn't be devastating. You just don't get it. North Texas. If you lost at North Texas,
and you actually don't play
You could get a quad one opportunity by going to North Texas.
So, I mean, listen, we can dissect what happened in that game. And they were out rebounded 54 to 45 points in the paint. The guards were just allowing basically effortless penetration. Musa was good.
I mean, I hate to do this, but this actually was a game you could distill down to one play.
The out of bounds.
Yes, the inbounds.
Just catch the ball. Just catch the ball.
Break down, catch the ball. They're going to foul you.
Yep. And then you're up by four.
Yeah.
Yes, but because it's down to one play, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Like anything.
One play, the ball, you can have a situation where it bounces a little weird. Yes. Like things happen. I'm with you entirely.
It would not have come down to one play if P.J. Haggerty had done better than 4 of 18, right? It would not have come down to one play if Dane Danger had more than 4 points, right? I mean, it was, but in the end, Dante Harris bobbling it off his leg with 32 seconds left and the ball and up, that was the play that ultimately cost you. And the moment it happened, you're like, this is going to bite you in the ass. And sure enough, it did bite you in the ass. And then they go over the final 127 of regulation and overtime, they go 2 of 12. And so there you go. And so you have a devastating loss.
Yeah.
And here's the truth. Do you think they're going to win? You think they're going to win them all? You think they're going to win the rest of them, including conference play? No, I don't. I said earlier I think they're going to take 3 conference losses. And I bet they take 3 conference losses.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, if you offered me up one more, though, like if you set the over-under at 1.5, I think I'd strongly...
Might take one.
I might take one. I might take the under.
But I don't think they're going to... Now, if they are... So Jerry Palm has them as a freaking 7.
Oh, I mean, it was a brutal loss. So that's the problem.
You're at a... Yeah. And so you're a 7 now. Let's just say they don't lose again.
Okay.
You can't imagine them getting up to a 6, right? Back up to a 6.
Remind me again. Would that be 31-5? So they have 5 losses now. Would that be 31? Are we saying they don't lose in the regular season? Or are we saying they don't lose again like throughout the conference tournament? Then I think you're going to be looking at a team that's probably something like 33-4. You know, 33-5. Someone check my math on that. I think you could get a 5 in that scenario.
Do you think they can go back up 2 lines?
Yeah, because eventually, like, other teams are also going to be taking losses. It's what we've talked about, right, though. It's not as punishing as the loss, but are going to be teams that are starting to mount losses, and so eventually your numbers overwhelm everyone.
But we're gonna say they're gonna lose one more.
Yep.
So right now they're 21-5, 11-2. Right. So. 11-2 in conference. So we say they're gonna have 3 conference losses, and where are they gonna be? And where are you? What are you realistically hoping?
I think if you offered me a 6 right now, I'd lock
it
in.
You'd take the 6.
Yes,
I think that's right. I will offer you a 6, and you would lock it in.
And I believe like last year that would be the best from the Mountain. I don't think anyone got better than a 6 from the Mountain West. Like the reality is, and this is like to John's column over the weekend, it's not just, they'll put you in, but they're not doing you favors.
No, they will put you in, they're not doing any favors. And then John's column was, they got to get out. They got to get out of the AAC. And the problem with that is, to the extent that he's just reiterating what a disaster it is to be in this conference, you can't just say, now I got to get out. Like, that's not
new. I hadn't thought of that.
I think they've been trying to do that since 2000, right? So that's the problem. It doesn't, having more urgency about getting out doesn't actually do you any good, right?
All right, so San Diego State last year got a 5 from the Mountain West. Then we had 10. So, like, I think... You have to look at it this way. It's like, who the highest, like, mid-major? It's like a 5 feels like the ceiling. And so if you offer me the 6, that's why I lock it in.
Take the 6.
Yeah.
What if I give you the 7 just to stay out of the 8-9 line?
I've always liked 7-10 better because I do feel like you've got a better chance at the 7-10. But I still think, it's realistic to expect a 6.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. If you are selling your house, call Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. I've told you a lot of the great things about Josh, but one of the things I do want to emphasize is he can tell you how much your home is worth for free. Only takes a few seconds. All you have to do is type your address on joshsellsthemidsouth.com. Type your address over at joshsellsthemidsouth.com. Realestatehouse.com, and you will find out what your house is worth. And Josh is there with his marketing plan to help you then sell your house. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. Again, it's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Back in a moment is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Matt Stark would like you to know that Keith Kachuk is from Massachusetts. So the two sons currently playing for the United States, also
Americans.
We didn't even import the Kachuks. They're okay. Just born, bred, natural Americans. Now, I think Keith Kachuk, now he's in St. Louis. He's right. Clearly an imported St. Louisan, but... is that what you call him? Is that what you call
St.
him? St. Louis, whatever. But anyway, did you watch it? Have you actually watched any of the hockey?
Yeah, I've actually enjoyed it. Saturday was awesome.
It's been unbelievably great. And Thursday, the U.S. plays Canada for the title of this Four Nations tournament. The problem, and this would be interesting, like how would you feel about it? You can get hurt. Like, in fact, both Kachuks are hurt a little
bit. Brady got hurt last night,
and Matthew Kachuk was held out of the game.
I mean, it's kind of the same issue that a lot of fans have with the World Baseball Classic, in which, okay, like, if you're a Mets fan and Edwin Diaz gets hurt in the World Baseball Classic and you lose him as a closer, like, how do you feel? Like, I do acknowledge there are, like, legitimate issues about
playing. The problem with playing hard is you are more apt to get hurt.
Correct.
And so, you know, how do we feel about it? Is it a problem? Whatever. It gets us to the All-Star game, by the way, and we haven't talked about it. Obviously, it unfolded over the weekend. And as you pointed out, people love to have their hot takes about the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Chris Harrington's position is watch it if you want. Like, don't get upset if you don't want to watch it. Just watch something else. Do something else. Go to a movie. Like, if it upsets you, do something else. And I think that's a reasoned take. Enjoy what you want to enjoy.
Well, there were on the options other hand, on Sunday.
On the other hand, when you... there's no reason we can't think about ways to make things that we once enjoyed better again. You know, like I think.
Yeah, I understand that. I still think, though, that is like fixing a problem that doesn't exist.
It doesn't really exist. No one really, of the things that we lament, I don't really lament that the All-Star game stinks. I will tell you what I did lament, Draymond Green.
Mm.
I just didn't see any Draymond Green. We're seeing this. He's elevated to, you know, there he is during the telecast. And it's just, so he just comes out. It is kind of amazing and just says the product sucks. He says sucks. He says the format sucks. And I think most people watching it would agree that it sucked, right? That the entire production, there wasn't much basketball, among other things.
There was a lot of downtime.
Like, I don't think anyone, I don't know anyone out there. Like, it's nice that Steph hit the half-court shot and whatever. I don't know anyone out there who says that was riveting television. It wasn't. But his rant taking shots at the rookies, like, that was totally unnecessary. He was crapping on the rookie team, which featured two Memphis Grizzlies, by the way. And part of his theory, this is what really got me, was they're not going to have a chance to set records, all-star records. All-star records are completely, utterly meaningless because no one guards. Like literally, the problem here is that because you're playing mini games now, you're not going to have players have a chance to set scoring records in all-star games? That's really why we're going to object to this and why you go out of your way to crap on it? Let's be honest. The reason that they had to come up with the format, came up with a new change in formats, was because the Draymond Greens and his friends in the NBA didn't play hard.
Right, and that's my whole point, is that I don't think this is a... Like, you can come up with whatever format you want. Like, we saw, I think Front Office Sports had the leaks of the potential changes for next year. All the changes, it all comes back to the same issue. How do you motivate them to play hard? And I don't think there's a fix to that.
There's a piece in The Athletic about the U.S.-Sweden game last night, and which was meaningless, actually.
Yes.
Like, it didn't matter. But one of the lines is competitiveness is a hell of a drug, because at some point in there, they just, like, for the U.S. didn't matter, but they just started playing hard. And what makes that's, if, you know, I mean, God bless Jaren for playing a little harder.
Yeah.
You know, Jaren, he blocked a shot. You know, that was, and God bless him for doing it. I agree with you. It's not a massive problem. In terms of the dunk contest, I know, obviously, McClung's dunks inspired Ja to say he might just do it, right? And then we saw other NBA players. Giannis, if you do it, I'll do it, right? Like, so... we've seen this. Maybe the Stars can dunk again.
I'll take that bet.
They're not gonna. And I have to say, after you watch what Mac McClung did, they just shouldn't. Like, it's a different competition. He is a trick shot artist as a dunker, right? And if
it's like long drive guy, whatever. You know,
can you imagine the Grizz? Like, I'll tell you this. That is not the first time. It was awesome. It's not the first time he jumped over a car. And unlike Blake Griffin, he jumped over the whole car. It was unbelievably awesome. It is not the first time that he's jumped over a car. It means that, know what he does with his spare time?
He
jumps over cars.
Yeah.
They bring cars out onto basketball courts, and he dunks over them. Now, let me ask you this. Speaking of what you want the players who play for the Memphis Grizzlies to do, and whether you want them to play hard and get risk of injury, do you want Ja Morant, during his practice moments, to be practicing jumping over cars? I was kept thinking to myself, what happens if he doesn't make it? Like, what happens if Mac McClung, like, clips the door on the way down or the side, like, whatever? You land on your face, who knows what? You dislocate a shoulder, for God's sakes. I don't want Ja jumping over cars. And I don't know how you can, once you get into the trick shot artistry category, I don't know how you can possibly compete with that. For me, I had the opposite reaction. Watching that, it wasn't like, boy, this makes me wish Ja and Giannis and whatever else were dunking. This makes me think they will never, ever, 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 ever dunk, because who can possibly risk life and limb and spend the time to compete with that?
I think you raise an interesting question. For far too long, we've talked about the stars don't do it, the stars don't do it. What if the stars not doing it is a byproduct of what you said? There's only so many ways we can see a dunk. And so everyone eventually had to start upping the ante. And so now you've started to create something that is inherently way more dangerous than it once was.
Takes way more effort and time to figure it out. Like, I want, you know what I would like? Here's a trick shot I'd like John to master. The three-pointer.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a good one.
I'd take that one, a 15-footer.
I'd like that one better than him jumping over cars.
But I think my whole deal
is... And more dangerous and everything else. It's just not, yeah.
My thing is, if you're already accepting, all right, we're taking G-leaguers, just invite, like, YouTube dunkers or whatnot. Give them a platform and, like, let me see at least the best dunkers.
You think they're better than Mac McClung? I think the best dunkers are better?
Well, let's find out.
That was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
Like, I didn't watch it live, but I went back and I watched every one of his dunks. And that was just absolutely insane. Last All-Star tidbit. Were you offended that LeBron, at the last moment, pulled out, costing someone else a berth?
Offended? No. I find it hard to believe that he decided...
Last minute
he's not playing. And by the way, it's fine. Like, he's in his 40s. He's banged up, like, whatnot. Just... My thing is just announce it earlier. It just felt like, I don't know, that felt unnecessary to wait to me.
All right. Moving on, we'll talk more about the NBA with Chris Harrington. Oh. The question that he asked in his mailbag was about whether Taylor Jenkins is or would be in danger if they have a disappointing playoff.
Okay. And we're assuming that means just first-round exit.
We will ask. Yeah, we'll assume it means first-round expert. We'll ask Chris about this when he joins us. But I was kind of... What would your answer be?
Probably. Like, if we're saying first-round exit as another high seed, I'm not saying, like, on the merits of whether it should or shouldn't be. That's just kind of the way that it goes.
Okay. This is what he said. If the Grizzlies underperform their seeding for a third straight playoffs under the same head coach, that would be a pretty common time for a coaching change. Let's start by acknowledging that. I'm not a fan of context-free ultimatums, and I suspect this ownership front office isn't either. How things happen matters. While I wouldn't dismiss the prospect of a coaching change if the Grizzlies come up short, I do think it's less likely here than in most similar situations. Given roster age, injuries, and the lack of a clear top five level individual player, the honest sense isn't that this team hasn't underperformed in the playoffs as much as it's overperformed in the regular season. And that's a credit to Jenkins. If the Grizzlies fell short of seeding again, I suspect the assessment would not be this roster is ready, a coaching change might get us over the hump, but rather, this roster needs a little more seasoning and a little more tweaking. My hunch is we're still a year away from playoff underperformance forcing this question. But maybe that's wrong, and also maybe the question doesn't come.
So the last sentence is the important part. Like, we'll address it when we get there. But I also...
Well, very quickly, I mean, this only... We're asking, presuming that they get bounced in the first round.
Right.
Right?
The other point, though, that I would add to context is... I do not believe that Taylor Jenkins just cleaned house on his entire staff. Like, that's usually a move. Like, we talk about that. That's like when you fire your coordinators.
Yeah, it can mean either of two things, though. It can either mean sometimes when you fire, it means a coach is on thin ice. They said, well, you're going to have to take these in coordinators who you didn't want, and you're next. That's sort of that's the typical how it plays out in the NFL, right?
Yep.
I don't know. It could have been different. Like, we are going to take a different approach, and Taylor Jenkins is going to be the head of the spear. That's true. What's interesting to me is it's very clear that just if you put aside context,
yep.
Put aside what we know of this front office, put aside what we know about how much they believe in Taylor Jenkins, put aside all of that, you would say that a team that in three straight seasons in the playoffs – underperforms its seeding, that in the NBA, where coaches get whacked drop of a dime, that's a coach who's getting whacked. You'd say it's a 95% chance that coach is getting whacked. You had two seasons where they underperformed the playoff seeding, then a season where everything fell apart, and so you give them a pass for that one, and then another season, we're saying that if this happens, where they underperform the playoff season, I would tell you, just if blind resume, that coach gets whacked.
Yep.
98% chance they get whacked. But I think what's interesting is Chris is saying, yeah, no. My hunch is that what the realistic front office will say, what's happened here isn't that they've underperformed in the playoffs. It's that they've overperformed in the regular season. And it's still a young roster with a lot to figure out, so we're not whacking the coach. And I'll ask you this. Don't you think this team right now, where they are in the West, has overperformed in the regular season? Don't you think, do you really think they're better, have a better roster than the teams behind them?
So the problem that I have with saying overperforming is I'm not sure how much they've overperformed versus the schedule has been in their favor early. Like, this is one of those ones where it's like, I'd like to see the 82
There's some
game.
Of that, too. Okay, but we'll stipulate that they finish third in the West, for example. Let's stipulate that they finish third in the West
agree.
And then they lose 100% to the Clippers
They would have overperformed expectations by almost every marginal metric. I think the other aspect to, like, go against the point that I'm making is this is not really a front office that we've seen that's going to go in and, like, bring in whoever
they're not
big name
they're not going to bring in someone who has strong opinions and wants to run
right.
it themselves. You know.
And honestly, I don't even know who's that coach right now that's even available.
Anyway, we'll talk about this with Chris Harrington when he joins us in the next segment. We have Fishman after that. Fish on Friday after Fish on Friday on Tuesday. So I did want to get to the SEC stuff.
Okay.
The SEC and the Big Ten are meeting in New Orleans. And rumor is, suggestions are that they're taking a hard look at the playoff system, and that what they're going to do is they're going to scrap the current system, and they're going to reserve four guaranteed slots for the SEC, four guaranteed slots for the Big Ten. And how many does the ACC and the Big 12 get?
If they're still going with the old plan, which was 4-4-2-2.
2-2, yeah. They each get two, and then one for the group of five. And then the rest would be...
At-larges.
Yeah, right. And they'd expand to 16.
And what I was unclear of, was this scrapping it for 26, or was this trying to scrap it for next year?
No, it's scrapping it for 26.
Okay. So, I don't love it in the sense that I think that you're also giving, like, I don't really think the ACC should have two bids.
Well, what I resent about it is that, here's the truth, most years, particularly if you expand to 16, they're going to get that anyway. You just don't need to do it, and it just builds in this...
So. Here would be the argument. I'm not saying I buy it.
The argument for it is it becomes less subjective because then you just have to look at the SEC standings to determine who gets in.
Right. But I guess with the argument that they would give you, and I'm not saying I buy it, but yeah. I would at least entertain it, is, well, we thought that was going to be the case this year. And what happened was what we believe is going to Oklahoma and losing on the road in November is not the same as losing, you know, to Syracuse on the road in November. And so what happened is, we created a system where we were essentially saying these two things, which are not equal, are equal, the SEC and the ACC. And because of that, because we didn't put it in writing, we had a system where our best team...
How about the argument that you just had a down year? How about the argument that you had a down year and most years you will? And why not? Why overreact to that one year?
Because my constituency is upset.
I do think one of the things that recommends this is we're now going to, you're going to have some standings in the SEC that make sense. Like
correct.
The SEC, we're not going to
schedule. Maybe that makes sense.
Yes. And yeah. Although how you would have picked the fourth team, like this year, there would have been a five-way tie. What was it? For the fourth spot?
Your ties would have been Bama, Ole Miss, South Carolina. I think those were the only because I think Missouri ends up taking a loss. But you would have had a three. Like, that's the other thing. It's like it would have been a three-way tie, and the tie was likely based on what
I just
get.
I just resent. I mean, who? Why wouldn't we? That you just two conferences get together and decide. And it's not like, by the way, well, we're having to deal with the fact that the SEC is so big and powerful. You created this.
Okay, hold up. The tie at 5-3 was Bama, LSU, South Carolina, A&M, Ole Miss, Missouri. So that was a
six-way. I said five-way, I think. Yeah. So it would have been a six-way tie
correct
for the fourth spot. So what the hell do you do with that? Like, what does that fix?
Not much.
And it's just whatever. It's just you like to at least have the illusion that maybe that's it. Maybe I like to cling to the illusion that things. And honestly, I don't see what the there was nothing wrong with what happened this year, except for maybe the season went on too long and we got exhausted by the time there was a championship game. It was kind of fun to have all these other schools who were in the hunt. I just, and here they are, they're just because we were left out, because we didn't get what we wanted, because Alabama wasn't included or Ole Miss wasn't included. We're going to rewrite the rules, so we're damn sure we're getting four every year.
Yeah, and I think what they're arguing to be is we're actually righting the wrong that we made in real time. They would never come out and say it publicly, but I do know that there was a ton of pushback initially when they agreed to the format that they agreed to, that this set them up to be on the wrong side. I mean, I agree with all of your points. I don't think the SEC was like a tremendous league this year. I do think that this is true, though. I think it was the toughest league.
I agree with that. I certainly agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. And I do also agree there's no gauntlet like the SEC gauntlet. They created it for themselves. Yes. And so
you invited Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, you didn't have to invite Texas. You created it for yourselves. And all right. By the way, it's Tuesday. That means we're going to have Fishman on in the next segment. It's also Tag Tuesday, Jeffrey. Did you know that? Franchise tags.
Franchise tag.
Today is the first day that you can franchise tag a player in the NFL. They can be tagged all the way through. It's funny the words we use now. Tagging is a thing. They can be tagged all the way up through the 4th of March. And so there's a feeling that the Bengals are going to try to keep all of their
free agents.
Higgins, Hendrickson, and Ja'Marr Chase. Well, guys who need new contracts. They're going to try to figure out a way to pay all three. And the only way to do that with T. Higgins, it's pretty clear, is to at least tag him then to see if you can work out.
It seems also to me like likely the first step is they're going to have to restructure Burrow, right?
Amenable to it. And then there's a question of whether the Vikings are going to tag Darnold.
Right.
Any thoughts?
So, if you're making me bet do the Bengals keep all three, I think the safe bet's no, right? Feels like two of three is the best.
No, on the Darnold.
And then on the Darnold aspect, it just seems to me like because JJ had the injury setback, they're going to have some kind of insurance policy. So it's either
I would want franchise to keep him around. Yes.
It's either franchise Darnold or it's give him the old 3-year, 2 years guaranteed contract.
If you are looking to have something framed, go to the Frame Corner. Simple as that. 5035 Park Avenue. You can walk in and buy a beautiful frame. I've done that. But what you really want to do is head in on there with whatever you got, whether it's a collection of sports memorabilia, whether it's photos that mean a lot to you, whether it's a piece of art, whatever it is. Maybe it's a newspaper story that I wrote once upon a time for the CA. Whatever it is, you want it framed, head on into the Frame Corner because that's what they do. They do custom framing, stunning, beautiful, expert custom framing. And they transform that collection of whatever that would otherwise get lost to the mists of time into something that you can display in your home, that you can hand down to your kids, absolutely make it a keepsake to keep forever. It is the Frame Corner, Frame Corner Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue. We'll come back, talk to Chris Harrington about the Grizzlies, what's coming up. And then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Busy second hour. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.